entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Max and friends, he says what he wants, ain't holding nothing back, back. Got the recipe for life, and he's inspiring. He's not scared of any topic, from sex style to gossip.
LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Welcome back to another Sunday night edition of Max and Friends. Y'all have been asking me, why do you say Sunday night edition? And that's because we replay here Mondays on LA Talk Radio. How was your weekend, everyone? Tweet me, at Max Tucci. I want to know what's going on in your life. Art Basel, Miami was so much fun. It's amazing to see all of these incredible artists and their work just like inches in front of your face. So it was quite an experience to just be in the moment. And I was speaking to this girl in line tonight, and she, when we were at the restaurant, and she was like, oh, you look like such a traveler. Where's your favorite place? Where have you been? I'm like, right here, right now is my favorite place. And I just agree with this moment right now, that right here on Max and Friends on Sunday nights on LA Talk Radio is my favorite place to hang out, because I'm with you all. So thank you all for tuning in. If it's your first time tuning in, stay tuned, all my Juliets, because we've got After Romeo songs playing tonight here on Max and Friends. Save Some Snow and Juliet. Y'all know you want to hear this. Tweet me at Max Tucci and let me know. Send out dedications. I'm live on Twitter right now. Ash Beckham is going to be joining us, and we're going to talk about duality. And, of course, Amy Mann is the ultimate fan for After Romeo. She's tweeting me now. She's going to be joining me. But we've got to do the astrological forecast for the month of December, because, yes, we're here right now. It is December. And I know that you all have been asking for it, and Dr. Maya Love always gives it to us so beautifully and perfectly. So stay tuned in just a moment for that. And when we're back from the astrological love forecast from Dr. Maya Love, we have a friend of mine that I met just not too long ago, Julie. And Julie's going to tell us a tragic story that I want all of you to listen to tonight, because kids that are listening right now, young adults, whether you're in high school or college, you are one step away from dying. It's that deep. Stay tuned to Max and Friends, but right now, Dr. Maya Love on Max and Friends for your astrological forecast. I'm Max Tucci, your host on Max and Friends on LA Talk Radio. Tweet me during this great, you know what, Dr. Maya, take it over. Everyone, I'm going to start tweeting you back. Here we go. Hi, Dr. Maya.
Hi, everyone. This is Maya from VedicAstroLounge.com, bringing you Vedic Astrological Forecast for December 2014. The planetary positions for the month of December 2014 are as follows. Sun is currently transiting Scorpio, but moves into Sagittarius on December 16th. Mercury is transiting Scorpio, but moves into Sagittarius on December 13th. Venus is currently transiting Sagittarius and remains there until December 29th. Mars is exalted in Capricorn until the first week of January. Jupiter is currently exalted in Cancer and becomes retrograde on December 8th. Saturn is currently transiting Scorpio. The north node of the moon is currently transiting Virgo, and the south node of the moon is currently transiting Pisces. The major highlight of this month is the retrograde movement of Jupiter in the sign of Cancer in the constellation of Aslesha in its fourth quarter. Jupiter will remain retrograde from December 8th until April 8th, 2015 for a total of 4 months. The retrograde movement of Jupiter will have significant impact on individuals who have retrograde Jupiter in their natal chart, and also those who are born with moon in constellations of Aslesha, Jyeshta, or Revati. Jupiter in general expands all aspects indicative of the sign in which it is located. So when Jupiter becomes retrograde, the process of expansion slows down, and it gives a window of opportunity for people to work thoroughly on things that they are working on, and also it helps to let go of old beliefs and incorporate new ideas. So after the retrograde period, all the hard work will give rise to greater expansion on all aspects of life. The retrograde Jupiter will be aspected by exalted Mars from Capricorn, And this may lead to many questioning their religious beliefs, and also there might be conflicts arising in the world due to religious beliefs. The stock markets and gold prices may go down briefly during the retrograde period and go back up after April 2015 when Jupiter becomes direct. Here's the astrological forecast for the month of December 2014 for the 12 Vedic moon signs. Aries, this is your month. Jupiter is retrograde in your fourth house. It is important to maintain a healthy lifestyle during this time. Taurus, Jupiter is retrograde in your third house. Time to focus on developing compassionate communication with your near and dear ones. Gemini, Jupiter is retrograde in your fourth house. This period will help you to develop strategies for financial gains and success. Cancer, Jupiter is retrograde in your first house. It is important to focus on yourself, question your beliefs, and let go of those that doesn't work for your own upliftment. Leo, Jupiter is retrograde in your 12th house. It is important to curb your expenditures during this time. Virgo, Jupiter is retrograde in your 11th house. This period will help you with financial gains or influx of money through career expansion. Libra, Jupiter is retrograde in your 10th house. Career must be your highest priority during this time. Your hard work will reap its results by July next year. Scorpio, Jupiter is retrograde in your 9th house. It is important to clear up any misunderstanding you may have with your dad. Sagittarius, Jupiter is retrograde in your 8th house. Some health issues may flare up during this time, so it is important to maintain a healthy lifestyle. Capricorn, Jupiter is retrograde in your 7th house. This may be a great time to find new partners or improve your relationship with your existing partners or take it to the next level. Aquarius, Jupiter is retrograde in your 6th house. Avoid any conflicts with people and maintain a low profile during this time. Pisces, Jupiter is retrograde in your 5th house, a great time to plan for children and also engage in activities with children that will help in their creativity. That brings me to the end of the forecast. Before I leave, I would like to remind that life is easy, effortless, and abundant, filled with plenty of opportunities to uplift us as an individual and also as a collective. It is important to believe in our own potential to create the best for ourselves. Have a wonderful holiday season, everyone. Thank you and blessings.
Talk Radio. This is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. That was Dr. Maya Love. It's 11:11 on the East Coast, so make your wish. And if you're tuning in for the first time, thank you so much. I know you have options, and I love you all for tuning in. We're just going to get into this show tonight because it's going to be pretty deep for the next couple minutes. So I just want you all to just sit back and let this percolate. If you're a parent, this is going to be a great show for you right now, this segment here. And if you're one of my Juliets who are tuning in for After Romeo, just bear with me while we get through this, because this is something that I promise you will affect not only your present, but your future as well. So I would like to welcome my next guest, Julie. Julie has a tragic story, and she's going to tell us about it here, about her son, Josh, and how mixing pills and alcohol equal a deadly combination. Welcome, my friend and my guest, Julie, to Max and Friends. Welcome, Julie.
Hi, Max. Thanks for having me on the show.
It's my pleasure to have you here. You know, we met last week for the first time in person, and your story and your son's story is one that needs to be told. And you, I just bow to you and I give you the biggest hug right now, because I know your journey is tough, but it's one that is going to save a lot of lives. And I know that Josh's life was one where he was a humanitarian, so this is exactly what he would want, is for people to listen and in the way he's doing this by you telling his story. So let's go back to the day you get the phone call that your son Josh is in the hospital.
Well, Josh had recently moved to Chicago, and he was supposed to be moving into his new apartment. And he had spent a wonderful day with his older brother, Andrew, and they parted ways about 11:30 at night, at which time he said that he wanted to hang out with friends of his from college. He had recently graduated, and he wanted to get together with kids that he knew from school. So he went to the bars, and after being at a few bars for a while, went back to some kids' apartment. And at the apartment, what they were doing, along with other things, but they were snorting Adderall. So they would crush up a tablet of Adderall, and about five or so of them would snort some Adderall. And then they went back to the bar to drink some more. Now, what happens with the Adderall is that it's a stimulant. It's an amphetamine. And when it's used the way it's not supposed to be used, in this case it was being used improperly, it goes right to your head as a stimulant. And one of the byproducts is that it will keep you awake, which is one of the goals. But by keeping you awake, it's going to prevent your body from taking over when you've had too much to drink. So you're not going to pass out, which is your body's natural way of taking over if you've had too much to drink. And also your body is not going to register how much you're drinking. So what happened to Josh was that he kept drinking because he wasn't feeling terribly drunk. And when he was walking back to his brand new apartment, he collapsed on the sidewalk before he made it to the apartment. And he had to be resuscitated on the scene.
And now he didn't have his wallet on him, so he had no identification, right?
His wallet had been stolen, and his phone, he had left his phone where this party was. So his only identifier was the key fob for his new apartment. So he was taken to the hospital basically as a John Doe. And through different machinations, my older son did hunt him down and got a call from the apartment company that told him to get to the hospital. So now we fast forward. Andrew's been at the hospital with Josh. I get the call. So now I get the call. Josh was in Chicago. I was in Cincinnati. They're about 300 miles away from each other. So Andrew called me about 6:15 my time, p.m., and said, "Mom, we found it, Josh. He's in the ICU, and it's really bad." And I'm smart enough to know what really bad means. It means really bad. So for 300 miles, my husband and I had to weigh out what the possibilities might be.
Was this the longest journey of your life, those 300 miles?
Oh, my God. You can't even imagine. And we didn't even leave the house until about 7 o'clock. So we didn't arrive in Chicago until about 1 in the morning. And the last, I would say, 10 miles of getting to Chicago was the most agonizing 10-mile drive of my life. And then we walked to the ICU, and I looked from about 10 feet away and saw Josh lying there on life support. And I knew seeing those tubes and just the way he was, I knew he was brain dead the minute I looked at him. So then, of course, we had to make the decision. Obviously, you know, he was brain dead, so obviously we had to grant to take him off life support. But prior to that, of course, we wanted to agree to gift of life for whatever organs could be donated. Unfortunately, his body was so toxic from the alcohol that the only organ they could use were his corneas. So at least has given the gift of sight to another family, another person.
But do you know who that family is yet or no?
No, I haven't found out who that family is. Yeah. We may or may not do that, but I'm just gratified to know that he was helping someone else. That's the important thing.
And so now here's your son in the hospital bed, and you've made the decision now with your family to take him off life support. What is it that was going through your mind at that moment?
You know, it's just, how can this be? How can it be that on July 19th, my life was absolutely great, and that on July 21st, it shattered, and here's this young man at age 22 who had the world by the tail, and how can it be that he's gone? It just from basically one decision that he made that he had no idea would kill him.
And now there's a lot of kids listening tonight, and they, you know, they do this because it's fun. Let's just get, you know, we'll sure. call a thing a thing. It's fun. Sure. They're snorting the Adderall. They're drinking. Right. Everyone's doing it. Tell them, as a mother who lost a son, how tragic, because we can only say it so many times until it registers, how tragic and lethal these combinations are, and why you're here tonight to prevent them from doing it.
You know, one thing, let me get clear right away that Adderall, when it's used appropriately and when someone is ADHD, that is an appropriate way to use this. In Josh's case, he was not ADHD, and he was absolutely using this drug improperly. And kids have no idea. First of all, I had never heard of snorting Adderall. I knew that Adderall was used as a study aid. I never knew that it was used as a party aid. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he went in there just to have a good time. He was already tired. He had had a long day. And he just wanted to perk up to be able to be with friends and have fun. And a choice like that can leave a family absolutely devastated. Family, friends, colleagues, and obviously the fact that he is dead and can't live his life. It is so devastating.
So what is it tonight that you want our listeners to remember, not only about Josh, but what his legacy is going to be?
Well, his legacy is going to be that, A, he was a great kid. He was a great kid who was so loved. He was smart. He was funny. He was athletic. He was a three-sport varsity athlete in high school. He graduated from University of Michigan. He was known all over campus. He was a great kid. But with that, you know, he did something. He made a choice that he had no idea would be deadly, but was deadly. So now I feel like it's my obligation as his mom to help to prevent this from happening to other kids and other families. And it's not just kids that are doing this. It's people in their 30s and their 40s.
Yeah.
So we are now starting a foundation. We're just at the baby infancy stages of starting a foundation. It's going to be the Josh E. Levine Foundation. Mm-hmm. And the purpose is going to be twofold. One is to have more awareness about the dangers of stimulants and alcohol. And it's not just Adderall or Ritalin. It can be Red Bull. It can be 5-Hour Energy. It can be powdered caffeine. These are all extremely dangerous when they're used improperly and combined with alcohol. Because a combination of stimulants and alcohol, the stimulant, you know, can give you that rapid heart rate. Mm-hmm. And so with Josh, in connection with the alcohol, it triggered a cardiac arrest, a cardiac episode. So one is more advocacy about alcohol and stimulants. And the other big ticket is the level, to curb the level of binge drinking at the college level. It's just out of hand. And I'm not advocating never to drink. I'm not saying abstinence. But I just think that it's really time for the kids to start waking up and just dialing it back a little bit.
Common sense.
I mean, a binge drinking is basically for women about 4 drinks in like a 2-hour period, for men about 5 drinks in the same time. But the issue is, you know, particularly if a woman is really petite, you know, those 4 drinks are going to hit her more heavily than a woman who's a bigger woman. And the same, you know, with a man. And it's just out of control. And I mean, at the college, kids are drinking like 15, 16 drinks in the evening. I mean, it's absolutely
And then they're mixing it.
Crazy.
So what is it that you want to tell kids tonight? Because we're going to follow you. We're going to have you back on once you get that 501c3 with Josh and everything going.
Yeah.
You know, and we'll have you back just for awareness, because the more we speak about it, you know, our words go out and they never stop.
Right.
So we're definitely going to talk about it more. But what is it right now for all these kids who are listening that you want to tell them before we let you go?
Boy, I would just, you know, I would say think. I would say swap out a non-alcoholic drink, you know, after every alcoholic drink. Pace yourselves. Think about how you want to feel the next day. Think about your families. But I would really say, you know, like with everything else, moderation is the key. Mm-hmm. And to just take it slowly. You can have fun, you know, you can have fun without going overboard and without blacking out and throwing up and passing out or being taken to the hospital. To just slow it down a little bit.
Slow it down a little bit. Well, Julia, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Josh's legacy is going to be a big one. His life is big and it's growing. It's just getting bigger. Even though he's not here, his spirit is taking over, and your advocacy is a beautiful thing. And I just thank you so much for joining us tonight on Max and Friends.
Thanks, Max. I'll talk to you soon.
Indeed, we will. Have a beautiful night, and just keep being the voice for this, because it's a beautiful cause, that not the death of your son, but the life that you're going to give to others through awareness.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right, all of my Juliets who are listening right now, I hope you all took something from that, because that's why I wanted to have Josh's mom here, so that you all could know that this is like something that's happening every day. So we're going to pick it up a little bit right now. This is the song that you've been waiting for. And when we're back, Amy's joining us, who's one of After Romeo's biggest fans. Right now, Save Some Snow. And when we're back, I'm going to be here with Amy. Save Some Snow, After Romeo on Max and Friends.
I love the way your cheeks turn red. Oh, ow, 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 oh, ow, ow, ow. How when you speak, I see your breath. Oh, ow, 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 oh, ow, ow, ow. But this year, I seem to be all I have. And the tree sits there so bad. Taste the same. Oh, ow, 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 oh, ow, ow, ow. The mailman does our gift exchange. Oh, ow, ow, oh, ow, ow, ow. Maybe it's USA. Picks me up all the way. I'll be part of your holiday cheer. Back at home, Christmas Day.
This is LA Talk Radio, and you're listening to Max and Friends. We have After Romeo, Palm Beach, Amy joining us tonight, because she just is in love with After Romeo. She's got this whole thing going on tonight. She's got you all here. She's the reason why we're playing Save Some Snow, and yes, we're going to play the whole song in another show, and we're playing Juliet tonight, but welcome, Amy, to Max and Friends.
Hello.
How you doing, Amy?
Of course, tell
us everything that's going on with After Romeo for all of those who are out there and listening right now, all the Juliets who are tuning in.
What up, Juliets and Romeos? Well, the reason I'm here is because, being the After Romeo official street team leader, I don't just want Palm Beach to know After Romeo. I want the whole world to know about After Romeo.
All right.
Because, you know, they're my favorite band. And what
they
makes
are.
Them
I know they're your favorite band. Now, Amy, what is it that makes them, like, because I know you love After Romeo, but tell us about, you know, we just played some of Save Some Snow, but tell us about the song Juliet. Have you heard it yet?
Yes, I heard it. It is on YouTube, their new music video. And, you know, what's cool about After Romeo is in their music video, you know, they had a contest and they had some of their fans actually real Juliets be in their video. And, you know, they're not just like One Direction or, you know, a lot of the boy bands that are around now. Like, they're bringing, you know, NSYNC, Backstreet Boys back in action, you know. They write their own music. You know, Drew, one of the members, is a really successful producer, songwriter. You know, he's written songs for Miley Cyrus, Jonas Brothers, Big Time Rush, Super Junior, ton of K-pop.
And we've had them here before on Max and Friends, right?
That's right.
We've had them here. And we've got Bernadette right now out there. So how you doing, Bernadette? Tweeting me. But so tell me, Amy, what else is going on with After Romeo? Because there's some news happening, isn't there?
That's right. You know, first of all, you know, they're part of the Bullyproof Tour, and that is they support anti-bullying organizations, and they spend their own money, and they do free shows to different schools, and they help change the culture of the campuses for the better. And right now, this coming Saturday in Celebration, Florida, they're doing a free show at Celebration Town Center Mall. It's part of Radio Disney, and in fact, they're actually on an independent record label, and it's very hard for a band in general to get on Radio Disney, Sirius, have their videos debut on the homepage of Evo. So,
to be on Max and Friends as well.
To be on Max and Friends, of course. It's the most prestigious thing ever.
So now tell us how people can follow you and how they can get news on After Romeo.
You can get news on After Romeo by going to their Instagram, their Twitter, their Facebook, at After Romeo. You can follow my street team page, at After Romeo PBST. You got to pick up their Christmas EP if you like Save Some Snow, because the amazing Gabe Lopez helped write...
Friend of the show!
...a song. What?
A friend of the show, Gabe Lopez.
Gabe is a friend of the show and a friend of mine, and he's the coolest person ever. And he's written lots of other songs with Drew. You know, they wrote New Kids on the Block together, you know. So you got to pick it up. You got to go to AfterRomeoWorld.com and get it.
That's simple. Well, we're going to play Juliet. Amy, thank you so much for joining us tonight at Max and Friends.
Thank you for having me.
And set up the song Juliet. Say, this is Amy and now Juliet on Max and Friends. Say it.
This is Amy and Juliet on Max and Friends.
And when we're back, Ash Beckham. Hit it, Juliet!
I got everything, but I never met that perfect girl, my Juliet said. Oh, 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 oh.
Run away just to every end to wait on free to show me off to all her friends. Say, hey, 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 hey.
Talk Radio. This is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. That was Juliet after Romeo. Thank you all, Juliets, for tuning in. I know how much you love them. And I've got to say, Amy, man, thank you so much for being a part of Max and Friends. So can you be a Juliet fan? Can you be a Juliet and after Romeo fan and still like, I don't know, let's say Backstreet Boys or One Direction? Well, that's called duality. And yes, you can. And you all know Ash Beckham because she's been here before on Max and Friends. Hard equals hard. You've bought her t-shirts. You've tweeted me because I've seen them. And I thank you so much for supporting Ash because she is a voice of inspiration. And she's joining us tonight because TEDx Boulder did an amazing talk, TED Talk in Boulder, about just life in general. They do this in Boulder. Ash joined them the second time because the first time there were millions and millions of you that tuned into Hard Equals Hard coming out of the closet, and that a closet is no place for any of us to live, whether it's your gay closet or you, I can't tell you, I'm pregnant closet or I have cancer closet, whatever it is, a closet is not a place to live in. So y'all remember that speech. But now we have a great talk about duality, and it's something that I love big time. It just resonates in my soul. It makes my brain tingle and my eyes pop out and want to learn more, and my ears expand and open and just digest all of the wonderfulness of my next guest, Ash Beckham. Welcome back to Max and Friends.
Hey, Max. How are you?
Good. That was a good intro.
That was a great intro. I just got to sit here and smile.
You are back, and I love your smile because it's contagious. Love is contagious, and duality is contagious. So tell us about this talk that already has, like, over 13,000 hits in such a short period of time.
Yeah, you know, it was kind of the evolution of it, I feel like, to some extent, but especially with the, you know, politics and everything that was going on, and that was coming up, and, you know, just people that I was getting to know that either, you know, A, folks surprised you because you kind of put them in a box and that's not where they were, or, you know, they were embracing these two things that, you know, it'd be after talk that people would be like, well, you know, I'm a Christian, but I also want to believe in gay marriage. Can I do those things? And I think, you know, the answer to that is like, yes, absolutely. You can do it. You gotta, however you can make that work in your brain works for me.
You know, what's so beautiful about that is because, like, I go to this ashram here in Florida called Kashi, and Ma, who was the guru, she's like, teach all ways because all ways are God's, basically, in her realm. And I was like,
Absolutely.
Am a Jukaboo. I am a Christian, Jewish, Buddhist, Hindu, whatever I want to be-ish.
Right.
And it's past duality. And I love in your speech and your talk, everyone, you can go online right now, type in Ash Beckham duality. It'll pull up. You can go to the TEDx Talk Boulder. You can go right to YouTube and find it there too. But Ash said, if we can hold two things, imagine four, imagine eight, imagine hundreds. And when you hold love, you're holding hundreds of things because love is, it has no boundaries. And it's L-O-V-E duality. So Ash,
absolutely.
I gotta tell you, So tell me, like, you're on stage again, and I don't want you to tell the whole speech, the whole talk. I shouldn't say speech because it's really a great talk. But you're on stage again. Let people go and watch it for themselves. But tell me how you were feeling on that moment that you were on the stage and you're like, okay, here we are again, and my voice is going to be one of inspiration.
Yeah, well, you know, I think you just, there's a part of you, I think, that questions if is it going to resonate? Like, is it going to resonate with people? And I feel incredibly lucky that the place in Boulder, I mean, I've said this for a while, and I'm sure people feel this in the different communities, it certainly isn't unique to Boulder, but for me, I feel like that TED stage is just a place where it's the community just provides the net. Like, they want you to jump and they want to catch you. So, you know, I was nervous, and, you know, does lightning strike twice and do the views matter and all of that stuff. But the first talk I did was pretty, you know, it was scripted and memorized, essentially. And this one, you know, kind of continued to evolve, and the more conversations I had, it changed. And then I just got up there and really so truly believed in this message of duality and speaking to so many people, you know, in my life and people that I know, that when I got up there, I was like, exactly.
You're like, and I story, spoke. It's we not sat on the, down.
Yeah, totally. I mean, that morning you were texting me from like the air, I think.
Yeah,
you
I
know,
was.
Like, you just kind of reached out to all these people you know. And then I finally came to the realization that, you know, it's not, that talk, it wasn't on paper anymore. You know what I mean? Like,
I remember
it was
what
in my heart and however it came out.
It's true. I said, the universe is rising up to meet you. The force is with you. The force is with you. And it is with
Absolutely.
You. Because when there is such a message of duality, and I really believe that duality, if you can open up your heart and your mind to understand duality, it really becomes like this evolvement of love. I really believe that duality is love, because it's accepting almost everything when you're in a constant state of duality. So
and
why
do you had said to me when we met, I mean, when we sat down, you had said to me, the point that we're trying to get to as people is to look on somebody else's experience with empathy and compassion and not judgment. And that is the definition of love. And that's where you get that duality concept, is like, you have to, you walk into it kind of putting your judgments on the shelf and taking the person for where they are because of the path that they've taken to get here.
It's so true. And, you know, Ash, we haven't spoken because it's been the holidays. But, you know, I went through this crazy experience just a couple of weeks ago. Keith and I did this really great event for Neighbors for Neighbors.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Right? Uh-huh. This big drag event. They dressed us up in drag. We had so much fun. We raised $20,000. Yeah, raised 20 grand for the community. Like, totally did an amazing thing. Hundreds of families ate because of us during the holidays. Like, it gives me chills still. So now, a few weeks prior to that, there was another organization that asked me to help them with their organization, right? I knew they were a Christian organization, but because I have the ability and capability to understand duality, I was like, all right, I'll help them anyway, because I knew that they weren't maybe going to accept me, which was fine because I wasn't doing it for them. I was doing it for the families. Long story short, Ash, this is going to blow your mind. Long story short, it's shocking. After I do that event where they put me in drag and it's a one night, the executive director called the lady that brought me in, asked her if I was a drag queen, said that I can compromise the brand. And then basically other emails from people at that organization said they questioned my integrity and if I had morals because I did this and because basically I'm gay.
Wow.
So I called the executive director.
Goodness.
I called him out on it because, you know me, I call a thing. And it wasn't to throw them under the bus. You know, it was just to like open up people's minds now. Like, my whole thing is not to throw them under the bus, but it's to tell people, be cautious who you give to, because some people will smile in your face and take your money and then curse you in the back because they don't understand duality. And his words to me were, we are a conservative Christian organization. Which my reply to him was, well, then you are not practicing what Jesus did and said by saying, love one another like I have loved you. The silence on the phone made me terminate the call. So why is it that some can understand duality and others are just so like solidified, their brain has become like solidified and their blinders have put on where they don't understand duality? Can you like...
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of it. I mean, I was, you know, just having a conversation before I jumped on the phone with you, with my girlfriend, and we were talking about this talk, even at this point, has gotten more negative feedback than anything else I've ever done. And
that's
there's
good.
Been, you know, an outpouring of positive feedback for sure. But the negative stuff is so telling to me. Usually the other things I've done, people, like, they say it, you know, they read it or they listen to it, and then, or they don't, and then they just kind of blow it off. They don't have to kind of make that stand personally against it. But now people are really coming out about it. And I think it's because when you try to embrace duality, it means that you are challenging a belief system that you have. And you think that, you know, we're brought up that you don't question the things that you believe, what you've been raised with, or what you think is okay, that if you question that, then your, I guess, for lack of a better word, loyalty to that is gone. So there are certain tenets that we are just not supposed to question. And anybody that asks you to do that, then it compromises your belief in that, and that we're not meant to think. And I'm not saying that in certain, you know, that it has to be 50. Duality isn't 50-50. Duality right. can be 99-1. I'm just saying that there's that part of embracing and just certainly listening to what somebody else has to say. So I think the negative part about it is that any of those belief systems that we have, if questioning it to look at duality of embracing somebody else puts even the slightest crack in that edifice, then the whole thing can crumble. If you question those tenets, then that makes people, they think about that, and those are their two options. Either the entire thing falls down, or they 100% believe it, and so once they question it, they go back the other way, and that's it. They won't consider anything else, which is I think why it brings up so much stuff in people.
And you know, it's okay either way. Like that's the understanding of duality. Either way, whichever the direction they go, it's okay. But you know what I think is great about duality is that it shakes the foundations of patterns and pathology.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's what happens is that we're born into families who believe one thing. And I love the saying, when we know better, we do better. And sometimes they just know what they know, and it's okay. But then when we digest this as children and then process it as young adults, it becomes a pattern in pathology. And I love the word duality, because for me, what duality does is it shakes that foundation and it disrupts the pattern and pathology of thoughts and beliefs of our ancestors and our surroundings.
Absolutely.
And I think it's a beautiful thing.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of times, you know, we think of ourselves, and I would put myself in the, you know, the left of center progressive side of thinking if I was going to be on a political spectrum, which I kind of hate spectrums anyway. I like kind of spherical things. But you would put, you know, somebody who believed adamantly in something, you would instantly be like, you know, they are, you know, uneducated, you know, of a certain political, you know, they would be on the right wing, brainwashed, all of those things. But I know, and I've done it. We've all done it. I mean, part of, I think the first step in duality is kind of that self-compassion around knowing the things that you've done. But there's been times when there are friends of mine or people that I know that are afraid to come out as Christian because they think that judgment will be placed on them. And there are plenty of, like, leftist, evolved, you know, elite-minded, well-educated people that place those same things that we're afraid that people are going to place on us. You know, we like judge other people so we can put them in a box to prevent them from judging us. So this isn't just a one-sided issue. I mean, I feel like we all do that. We all take those social constructs that we've been brought up with and place them on other people. And that isn't a political thing. That's just a human thing. But
it is
to understand that that's to understand that that's what you're doing. And to me, it comes down to this very basic concept of, like, I'm missing out. Like, if I can't be open to duality, then I'm missing out on interactions with amazing human beings. Yeah. And it doesn't have to be the most life-shattering, you know, they don't have to be my best friend, be my wedding, but it's a human being that I now have a greater compassion for them, and they have a greater compassion with me. And, you know, not to be too, like, woo-woo, but what a better place that would be if we could all do that. And, you know, and you had said this before, like, you and me embracing somebody else's point of view doesn't at all downgrade my belief in my point of view. It just makes me understand the world around me very better and get my, like, myopic blinders off so I can see that the world doesn't exist in the paradigm that I've created.
Absolutely. Hey, real quick, Ash, what's everyone listening to?
The LA Radio, Max Tucci and friends.
LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends.
LA Talk Radio. This is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. If you're just tuning in, Ash Beckham's with me. We're talking about duality, and I just love that jingle, and I love that ad. You're good, Ash, because I had a jingle, and you put the jingle in for me. But so duality is so true. You know, when we just open up, and really I think, you know, the word duality in itself, to me, is just, again, the concept of opening up and just experiencing experiences and one another.
Right.
You know, and it's like perfect example. Like today we were in Art Basel amongst billions of dollars of artwork. And there was this very cool girl who was standing in the fashion bookstore. And she was, we were talking. I showed her the house in Boulder. And then she's like, oh, you know, I always wanted to just be here and amongst these people. And I was like, you are these people. And she's like, no, I'm not. I'm like, you are. You are these people. I was like, just understand that we're all basically here experiencing life together. You know, and that's really the understanding for me for what duality is, when you can accept someone for just existing.
Exactly, exactly. And I got a comment, you know, a Facebook comment that was, that said, you know, essentially, why does everything have to be a teaching moment? Like, why? Maybe that person just made an innocent mistake when they thought you were your niece's dad, or, you know, a thousand other things. Why does it have to be a teachable moment? And my response to that was, that whole talk wasn't about me giving somebody else a learnable moment. It was me taking that situation and doing some self-discovery about it.
I love that.
You know what I mean? Like, that's a huge part of the duality. It's so much more internal than it is external. It's like, it's my own realization of what am I actually putting out there in the world, and what am I putting on other people, and when can I kind of take a breath and embrace the situation, you know? Right. So it wasn't, to me, a teachable moment for anybody but me, and how many times and how many millions of interactions do we have in the day where we can look at those and make them our own personal teaching moments, you know?
You know, what's so true about that, Sophie B. Hawkins was on here. We were talking about life paths, and she was on my TV show, I Am the People. And what she said is, we are our own teachers. And I always said, we are our own gurus. Every moment that we experience is a lesson for us to internally just digest who we are and figure out why we're here. You know, I love saying that, you know, I love saying our lives are big. We have to keep reaching. And I know, Ash Beckham, that your life is big. And I know you're going to keep on reaching because there's so much more for you to do. But, you know, it's like, here we are. We're wrapping down 2014, which I can't believe I'm saying. But, like, we are wrapping this year down. 2015. What is it that you want people to take away tonight? And from watching your TEDx Boulder talk, what is it that you want them to really bring into the new year? Give them some advice.
You know, I think it still goes to a very basic. I mean, I still think the first step, I think, is coming out of your closet and whatever that might be, and owning where that is that you're hiding. But to me, that's such an easy transition to, like, living your own duality and embracing yourself and embracing your imperfections and embracing the ways that you don't fit in a box. Like, none of us do. We try to, you know, I mean, I wore skirts and curled my eyelashes for years, but, like, there's some boxes that we just don't fit in. And so how do you become the unique you in whatever way that can be? And, you know, for lack of a better concept, the best you that's out there, and not in these kind of ways of achieving
the authentic you,
exactly, the authentic you. How? Yes. What are the steps that you need to take to do that? And, you know, some of us, like, that starts with being able to do your thing, looking in the mirror at yourself, and that might be as authentic as it gets in 2015 for you. But that is a step forward, and then all of a sudden, your mirror turns into your best friend. You're having a conversation with them, having a conversation with your lover, with your family, with your friends, with the world, like, whatever those next steps are. But to me, it's so central. I think you and I talked about it, but, you know, I had some stuff I needed to deal with, just personal things. And I got up on that TED stage, and I couldn't go up there with baggage. You know what I mean? I had to kind of, like, get my slate clean and take care of my stuff, because, you know, you're really transparent, I think, when you're up there. And it, you never want it to sound preachy or holier than thou, you know. But I needed to be authentically me and kind of clean house a little bit in a few ways, and I did that, and it made me feel so much better. I mean, I feel like that's one of those things, and a thousand of these things, when you embrace duality, and you have these connections with people that you've never had a connection before, these conversations that you, you know, the guy down the hall in the office who you think you have nothing in common with, and then you find out that you actually do in some small way.
But here's the thing.
So many times,
you know,
and say,
this is the thing. We all, the fact that we were all born is the exact reason why we have everything in common with each other.
Everything. Exactly.
Because we were born is enough. Period.
Right.
And that's just
exactly.
life. And that's how common we all are, is that because we were born, we share life. And life is a big thing to have in common with each other, because so many people, like, look, Josh, his mom was on the show earlier. He's no longer here. Babies don't get born. You know, miscarriages happen. Because we're here, it's enough. And no experience is ever wasted. Everything has meaning.
Absolutely. Totally.
It's so true, right? I'm going to have you back on. We're going to, because, you know, I just
please.
I adore you. I love you. I adore you.
Oh, it's my favorite.
And we're going to, I think we should, like, next talk, we should talk about authenticity.
Yes, absolutely. Let's
right?
do it.
Being authentic to the, we've already now come out of the closet. We now understand
right.
duality, and now we have to be authentic in our duality in coming out.
Absolutely, yeah. It's like a 3-step program. I like that.
I love it. It's a 5 million step program. I'm gonna get in trouble because I have to
hard.
Wrap the show up.
Yeah, no, get it. I'm just saying all that stuff. It is not easy. If it was easy, we would be living in a world of authenticity. It is not easy. But we're all doing
I'm
it
I'm
going to
challenge you on that, and then we're going to wrap this show up. I'm going to challenge you on that because I have a belief system that life is easy. We make it hard because what we do is we literally just, like, believe all the bullshit.
I completely agree. I think life is easy. It is easy, and we make it hard, for sure.
We make
it
so difficult. And you know what
absolutely.
The difficulty is putting ourselves in the closet. That's when it becomes difficult.
Absolutely.
Because everything
you know,
is really,
like,
beautiful.
Absolutely, there's hurt and loss and all of the things that happen, but really it's not, you know, it's simple. If we had compassion for each other, it'd be even simple. But you're right, we, you know, we feed into all the bullshit.
You know what? I'm going to leave it on this. Love one another like I have loved you. Ash Beckham, I love you, and thank you for being on Max and Friends.
I love you, Max.
I'm going to talk to you after the show. Everyone, thank you all for tuning in to Max and Friends tonight. Thank you so much for Julie for telling us Josh's story, Amy for giving us After Romeo for giving us your songs, and Ash Beckham for telling us what duality is. And for all of you tuning in, I love you. Take life to the max. This week, I'm being honored by the Unicorn Children's Foundation for all my humanitarian work. So thank you, Unicorn Children's Foundation, at Mr. Trump's house, Mar-a-Lago in Palm Beach, this Thursday. Go to unicornchildrensfoundation.org for more information. I love you all for listening. Take life to the max. Good night and good karma. I'm Max Tucci, your host on Max and Friends.
LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends.